You know, a lot of guys complain about women being needy. Very rarely does the conversation about men's neediness take place, but it's a real one. You've written an article on about it, Three Signs of Neediness. So I'd love to talk about that on this call. Why don't you start by telling us, what is neediness when it comes to men's behavior? How do men exhibit neediness?
Well, if you one thing I have to do to get inside women's heads even more is spend a lot of time on women's websites and reading women's comments on all kinds of articles. And it's not any one thing. That's a hard thing about neediness for men to understand, and we'll go into a bunch of different aspects of it. One of the most common forms of neediness that women talk about is a man's need for sexual intercourse. You know, they'll call it sex brain, and they refer to it. They have their own lingo, and they refer to sex brain, which was another article, that they can tell. They have an intuition, a sixth sense when they're with the man. And this could be a husband of 28 years, believe me, or you could be with her for 28 minutes on a first date. And they can kind of see in the way you carry yourself, the way you speak to her, the way your eyes dart around the room, innuendo, jokes, anything like that. They can tell if you are preoccupied with the idea of having sex with her. And that is a neediness. And it's such a turnoff. Even with very mature, highly sexually active women, it's a big turnoff when they feel a man's priorities and his focus is on getting through a game of finally getting her into bed. And this applies, like I said, to a first date, and it applies to your 28th year of marriage.
Well, you said something that really struck me just a second ago. You said, even with highly sexual women, it's a turnoff. So what that means to me is that we're not talking about women who don't want to have sex with you. It's not the fact that you want to have sex with them that's coming across as needy and unattractive. It's something else, right? It's the, I would call it insecurity. Is that true?
Part of it is insecurity. In fact, if there's a deep sense of insecurity and not really knowing who you are and where you stand in life, you tend to fulfill your confidence bucket, if you will, by getting affirmation through women. And as Dr. Robert Glover says in No More Mr. Nice Guy, and that's a must read for every man if they haven't read it, that we tend to be raised by our teachers, the ladies in our life and our mothers, and we're trained to believe that we are good men and desirable men if women tell us so. And when we bring that to a date or to a marriage, it is incredibly disturbing. It feels unsettling. It feels unsafe. And it is very, very unattractive to women. And so when I work with men, both single and married, they first have to understand how women think about who he is being versus what he's doing. Women can see men doing things to get attention and to build attraction, but women are so much less interested in what a man does than who he is being in marriage. And this is what we have to talk about. We have to get real. This is vulnerable shit because you have to really be honest about why you want her so bad, why you need to see her naked, why you want to touch her tits, all that stuff. You have to be real about why that is and how you got to this place before you can back off, kind of take her off her pedestal and understand that what she wants most, even if she's highly sexual and highly active, that what she wants most is to see you feeling strong about yourself before she can open her heart and her legs to you. They want to see a strong man before they can open up.
Let's back up a second here, because I think this applies to a lot of guys, but I also think that a lot of those same guys are going to be in denial thinking about this. So there are a lot of different ways that guys can exhibit neediness and that women can sniff out. Let's talk about specifically, what do men do? What are the things they say? How do they act? How do they carry themselves that betrays this neediness? I really want guys to hear this and recognize themselves in it, as opposed to brushing off and saying, nah, that's not me, that's the other guys.
Yeah, I know. And I know that emotion really well. I spent 28 years saying, no, it's not my problem. So I feel pretty confident in this. I'll start with number three. In the article that I wrote about the three signs that men show neediness, number three was trying to be perfect just to get her attention, to get her touch, to have sex. This whole myth that the planets have to align just right. there has to be 7 days of good feelings and Mercury needs to be in retrograde or whatever myth you believe about women needing to have in place before they'll be sexual with you. What men do is that they try to pick up the house, they try to buy flowers, they try to plan the perfect date, say the perfect thing. Again, doing things, not being, but doing things. And she sees the game. She sees there's a covert contract, as Dr. Glover calls it. It's a hidden secret that he has, that if I do enough of these things right, when I finally make the offer for sex, she has to say yes. And she sees right through it. What guys are in denial about is that she sees right through it on the very first day that he starts that crap.
Yes. And what you said, I remember in that article, is that you're essentially making a hidden deal with her, right? Except without getting her agreement, by doing all these things that, you know, might not necessarily be the things that you generally won't do. You're just doing it because you want to get a piece of ass in the end. And you're doing this without communicating it, but she's aware of it.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's an insult to women, either on dates or in marriage, that men treat them with kid gloves, as if there's some kind of, I called it a sexual Rubik's Cube, as if there's only one way to turn her on. And this is a really immature, I call it a 15-year-old boy perspective that we have, that they're so complicated, they're so mysterious and all that. They're really not. Because all they want to see you is confident in who you are and not trying to turn dials and buttons and everything to just right to get her to like you. It's insecurity that's showing through and she can't stand it.
You know, there's something else underlying all this. And if you're treating a woman like a sexual Rubik's Cube, you're essentially denying the fact that she is a sexual creature, right? And that in and of itself, it's got to piss them off, right? Because they want sex just as much as you do. They just want to have sex with, you know, a mature, confident guy, not somebody that's tiptoeing around them to weasel a little bit of action out of them, right?
It is. And God, in my marriage, and I know guys do this on dates as well, but in marriage, you start saying, you're just not attracted to me. You must not be a sexual person. And you start truly believing that they just have no libido whatsoever. And when they think, they know you're thinking that, they get offended. And what I see in marriage is that women in that position start getting very flirtatious with other men. They start turning on their charm. They start playing in Facebook. They start some innocent texting and sexting with other men. And they let him find out. In very cruel ways, they can let a man know that he's wrong about her sexuality. It's his lack of being authentic and lack of being confident that makes her that way. Of course, you know, we can get in a whole discussion here. What is her responsibility? What should she be doing? What kind of coach should she have to break her out of this juvenile behavior of hers? We can talk about that, but that's not the subject of this call.
Yeah, so why would she do this? You said that's not necessarily the most mature and ladylike behavior for her to be exhibiting, but why would she be motivated to act out in that way in the first place?
You know, and this will insult women when I tell you, but she's afraid. She's scared shitless of the vulnerability involved in facing her husband by set or date saying something, you know what? I am very much interested in sex. In fact, I think about sex all the time. And I've actually been looking at some websites that turn me on. And the reason I'm not having sex with you is because I feel funny with you. Can we talk about this? Can we talk about the fact that I feel like all you want from me is my body, and that when I'm talking with you, you sometimes check out, or you tell me you're going to do something, but you don't, or that you're going to call me last Friday and I didn't hear from you until Sunday. Those kinds of things to me make me feel like you don't want me for anything but my body. And that scares the crap out of me. And I can't be with a man like that. So what I just said there, that sentence, and when I say it to women, they all roll their eyes like, oh God, wouldn't that be nice to be able to say that to a man? It happens to be true, but I could never say that. So what does a man do with the information of knowing most women could never say that to him?
Well, this leads me to something else you've said in one of your articles, and that's creating emotional safety. Let's talk about that. We're jumping off to another subject, but it's definitely related. I mean, let's talk about emotional safety, because it sounds like that's what she needs, right? If she's not getting something out of you that she needs, and that's causing her to lose sexual attraction towards you, then she needs to be able to express it. But if she doesn't feel safe expressing it, well, then what do you need to create that environment?
Yeah. Emotional safety, it's very much related to neediness, because neediness in men make women feel unsafe. And I'll just finish up on the neediness thing. Emotional safety can go into negative territory for women when she sees him constantly questioning her, what she's doing, what she's saying, what does she mean? It feels very picky, disapproving and unaccepting of her. One of the biggest things that make women feel unsafe is a man who doesn't accept her for the way she is. And some of that comes with fairly nonsensical, chaotic emotions sometimes. And as soon as you pin her into a corner and tell her she's irrational or not making any sense, or the dreaded word crazy, you're a crazy woman, she doesn't feel she can be safe to be the woman she wants to be with you. If she feels like she's going to be belittled or be condescended to, she's going to shut down.
All right. So it sounds like rather than understanding her, you're judging her.
You're judging her. Yeah. A woman who feels judged tightens up like a drum emotionally and physically.
Yeah. And that's what you talk about when you talk about, responding versus reacting to your woman.
Yeah. There's something I'm writing a book on, and I haven't gotten the title down yet, but it's for guys, and it's about the attraction transmission. And if you can imagine a gear shift on her forehead, and there's only three gears. There's R for reverse or repelling. There's N for neutral, and there's D for desire. And if we just had that, right, it'd be like the perfect gauge on a dashboard. So when we start talking, doing, or being something, we could see if she's feeling attracted to us, if she's stone neutral, which is like the roommate zone, the friend zone, or if she's actually feeling like she has to move away from you, if she's not attracted, she's repulsed by you. And neediness shifts that gear to the R every time. And I wish guys could see that on a forehead when they're doing those things to see it just goes into the red zone. So yeah, that attraction transmission. So emotional safety means a woman is living in the repulsion zone. It's an energy. If you can imagine magnets, they cannot get close to you emotionally. They can't be vulnerable. They can't tell you their secrets. They don't want you to touch them, and they don't want to have sex. And when men say, well, I don't have any control over that, I tell them, let me give you a few secrets about why you do have control over that.
Okay, well, let's hear them.
Well, a few secrets. So what's the opposite of repulsion? It's attraction.
Mm-hmm.
So one client, he's been married 17 years, and he never understood his wife did not want to be intimate with him when he wasn't present. And he said, what is presence? What does presence actually mean to a woman? And I said, well, tell me how you handle it when she comes home from work. Well, he said, I'm normally there. He had a New York accent. I'm normally there on my laptop, you know, and I'm doing work because she knows I'm working about that time she gets home. And she starts talking, and I never look at her. So I just say, So I said, do this. Tomorrow, next time she comes in, invite her to sit on the couch, close the laptop, turn your body 90 degrees so you're actually facing her, and look her in the eyes. And he goes, I'll tell you what, he called me the next day. When I did this, all she could do was look at my laptop. She could not believe I actually shut the lid. I put it on the coffee table, and I turned to look at her. Then he said he did it for another 3 days straight. And this is what I mean by that gear shift going right into D. She stayed with him. She started laughing. She told a funny story that happened to her that day. And she told a dirty joke. Something she never does around him is tell dirty jokes. You know, it seems like a miracle, but a man being present is one of the biggest turn-ons. So what's the opposite of present? How do you shift her into repulsion gear? When you don't listen, when you don't pay attention, when you're dismissive, when you can't even repeat what she said, or when you treat her concerns as petty or unimportant to you. This is attraction 101 for husbands, but guys do this on dates all the time, right?
That's actually really good that you mentioned that. I know you deal with a lot of, you know, married men or formerly married men. You deal with a lot of relationships. A lot of this is, in my opinion, universal, whether you're just getting to know a woman or if you're in a long-term relationship with her. Right? I'm even wondering if we should talk about that or if it's obvious in and of itself.
You know, one thing that I've noticed is that when a man is having trouble in his relationship, if he's having trouble dating, if he's having trouble attracting women or attracting his wife or just having a normal conversation with women, it's a metaphor for what's going on in his life. It's a metaphor of what's going on with his relationships with other men, definitely what's going on with him at work. And it all gets back to the same thing. So I can't just, there'd be no man in the world who wants to hire me if I said, here, let me help fix your life and bring your confidence. It all starts in our relationships. And if we are men who are confident in our relationships, we know who we are, we know what our values are, we actually know what our boundaries are, and we don't give a shit if we defend them and somebody gets mad at us. In fact, we welcome people to be angry with us for us defending where we stand. When you become a man who's confident but can also come from a place of love with the women in your life, I can tell you right now, when you go back to work and you go back to your relationships with men, you become a different person. You start applying all this relationship knowledge into everything else you're doing. And so the question is, oh, so why don't we teach men this? Well, we try to, but for some reason, we don't think this stuff applies in the real world. It only applies when we're trying to get laid. But the truth is, the formula for attraction inside a committed long-term relationship is the formula for success in life. And it starts with you. It starts with confidence. And that's a really hard thing to sell to people.
It kind of reminds me of a story you wrote about in one of your articles, and that was, you know, a guy who was a big strapping cop came across by your description. He was pretty strong, pretty confident man, but he was taking a lot of shit from his wife. And I don't think that's an anomaly. You know, you've got guys who are generally, they do well in life. They know their boundaries. They know their values. They're able to kind of, they have enough of a backbone to stand up for themselves in the working world or amongst their peers. And yet they seem to lose that backbone within their relationships. What goes wrong there?
Yeah, I remember the email you're talking about. That was just one of my newsletter emails. It was after a weekend with this big cop at a party. And she started talking rude to him in front of everybody, being disrespectful, calling him names. And he sat there and took it, even though I know how he is on the force. And, you know, he pulls people over all the time and he doesn't take any crap from anybody, but from her. So your question is why? Why does she have the power to make him cower when he's being disrespected, he's being treated badly? And it goes back to how we're raised, right? Every woman in our life that taught us anything from kindergarten to 12th grade was a woman, except for, I bet you probably had about one or two male teachers in 12 years of school. Women tend to raise us, and we get PhDs in pleasing women. And we become certain that if we can only do things that please women, our life will be happy in our relationships. So when she starts disrespecting us and calling us names and being verbally abusive and even saying some emasculating things about how horrible of a handyman you are and why you would never have him fix the kitchen sink, you know, ouch, right? That he doesn't stand up to her. He just believes that he has to put up with it, because with a PhD in pleasing women, you don't challenge him. You don't speak up for yourself. You just find another way to make her happy. That gets back to neediness and back to trying to make her planets align just so she likes you. I'm trying to help men get over that crap, because the truth is that the man a woman wants to have sex with is a man who never plays that game.
And you talk about that quite a bit too. You know, women are not attracted to guys that are always trying to please her. Women are attracted to guys who take care of themselves, so to speak. And so in many ways, that's counterintuitive. If guys have never really taken the time to really understand the dynamics of a relationship and give this much thought, then it might be counterintuitive. Well, why would a woman be more attracted to me if I'm focusing on myself? Why wouldn't she be more attracted to me if I am trying to please her, if I'm trying to make her happy? Why wouldn't she want that? Right? Like, what do you say to a guy like that? It doesn't make any sense.
And this is the same guy who talks about, you know, women only like the jerks. They only like the bad boys. I mean, they'll fuck the guy on the motorcycle, but she'll marry the guy who's got the architecture degree, right? And so they have this myth that women really like bad boys, but they'll marry the good guy, which is part of my name is Good Guys to Great Men. What I want my great men to understand is that bad boy has got some things. He's got some mojo that she wants to see in her good guy. Now, yes, she wants the kind, compassionate, caring, attentive, money-earning, responsible man, but she also wants the bad boy. So you take all those things I just said about the good guy, and you mix in a titch of, I care about what you think, sweetheart, but I don't give a shit what you think about me. And this is something that men have a hard time grasping. Well, how can I care about her and not care what she thinks about me? And this is a deep conversation. you care deeply about what she thinks and what she feels and what she dreams about and what she hopes for, and you support her and admire her and celebrate her. But when she starts getting on to you about what your values are, where you're headed in life and what your passion is and what you care about, and she starts judging you on that, that's when you do not give a shit about what she thinks. And you let her know very clearly, Pumpkin, this is not up for debate. When did you think this was negotiable? Is this the woman that I started, you know, dating or married 10 years ago? This isn't the girl I know. And you get cavalier and fun with her while you are loving the shit out of her, right? You don't disrespect her, but you let her know that what you have in your heart and what your passion is in life and what your purpose is not up for debate. So what's the reason you can't do that? The reason you can't do that is when you do not know that. When you're a guy who doesn't know what those things are, you have no defense because you don't know what you're defending. So you just accept her judgment of you that you probably are late.
Sorry, Steve, I lost you there. Can you still hear me? Hello.
Oh, okay. I saw an internet connection error pop up. What I was talking about is that the difference between caring about what she thinks and caring about what she thinks about you is a huge, huge difference. And the reason so many guys get caught up in the neediness of caring what she thinks about him is because they don't know where they stand on things. They don't know what their values are. They don't know where their boundaries are for acceptable relationship behavior. They don't even know where they're headed in life. They don't have a plan for themselves and what they want to become as a man. So when she starts judging him, when she starts criticizing him or belittling him or emasculating him, he has no defense because he fears that she just might be right. She just might have a good point because he's not clear at all on who he is. So if you're going to stand up to a woman and let her know that you care about her deeply, you love her, you support her, you cherish everything about her, but you don't care about what she thinks about you, you can't get there unless you've had the help and the time to know who you are to begin with. Did that make sense, Alec?
Yeah, it did. And it actually led me to think about some of my friends who are, you know, in relationships or married, and the guys that are respected by their women are the guys that have very, very strong set of values that they absolutely do not compromise on. I can think of one couple in particular. The guy's a staunch environmentalist. And, you know, I've been friends with his wife for many years now, and it's not something that she's ever really taken an interest in, you know, the environment or being eco-friendly. But she admires him like I've never seen anybody admire anybody. It's not because she cares about the environment. It's because she admires the fact that he's got values and the fact that he stands by them, the fact that he doesn't compromise.
Yeah.
And she'll challenge him on it once in a while because, you know, being environmentally conscious takes work.
Yeah, you're a target, yeah.
Yeah, it means you have to adjust your own personal lifestyle if you care that deeply about it. And there's some inconveniences that you might have endured, and some of that spills off to her, and she might not always like it. But the fact that he stands so strong by them is something that she a very high level of appreciation for. And I see that in a number of people.
Yeah. And she's a good, strong woman, beautiful, strong woman who understands his passion. And she makes the choice to celebrate that and to appreciate that. And if you get into a bad relationship or one that's headed downhill where there's some other crap going on, maybe he's hurt her feelings. What she might say to him, the environmentalist, let's call him Jim, they're at a party and she goes, "Oh, my God, I don't see a recycle bin. Jim's going to do one of his freakouts here if you don't get a recycle bin." You know, that kind of thing. A snarky woman will start jabbing her husband publicly over things he believes in or things he cares about just to get him. And so what does Jim do when she pulls that crap, right? What is she? The Jim that I work with knows exactly how to get close to her, get in her space, and give her a look that she knows. She just crossed a boundary that never gets crossed in that relationship. One is public humiliation, and one is disrespecting something he cares deeply about. And the third thing, the look says, "I love you, and this doesn't mean anything other than don't fucking do this again."
Right.
And she feels an energy of love and protection from him, but she also knows that she just crossed a line that she shall never cross again. And women are rolling their eyes and hear this stuff. When I coach women, I tell them the exact same thing. The guy whose eyes are roving all over the restaurant, looking at every skirt that passes by, he thinks he's being coy. She sees it every time. And I tell her exactly how to deal with that guy, what she should say and what she should do, if that's a boundary of hers that she simply doesn't allow to be crossed, and that is disrespect.
You know, what that reminds me of, a lot of guys that are coaching men, what they talk about is, you know, women will occasionally do these things to you, and most guys describe it as testing your man.
Yeah.
But the underlying premise is, if you can't stand up to her, how are you going to go out and stand up to the rest of the world on her behalf? In a way, she needs to feel that you have that strength to stand up to her just so she can feel confident in your ability to stand up to the rest of the world.
I've got a great story for that guy. I like it on that point exactly. This is the same guy. He was the New York guy. When he learned how to say, his wife is a cusser. She loves to cuss like a sailor. And she started using the F word around him. And finally, and he doesn't cuss. He never has to her. He got close to her. He put his hands on her shoulders and he said, "Look, sweetheart, we can talk, we can argue, and I'll even take some yelling from you, but you do not curse at me. It's that simple. You do not curse at me." And he's never talked to her like that before. And now, from now on, she never curses. In fact, when she catches herself, she even apologizes. She actually says the words, "I'm sorry." You know what happened? A week later, he's at work, and a customer was yelling at him because a customer thought that he shouldn't be charged extra for the computing services he was providing, and he started cussing at him. And you know what this guy did? He took the same lesson. He got near the guy's face. He said, "One thing I won't accept is cursing from a customer. The solution you need is $10,000. I'm proposing to give you that service for $10,000, and it'll be the best $10,000 you ever spend. Do you want me to give you a contract or not?" And the guy said, "Put it on my desk in the morning. That would be great. Thank you very much." He stood up. He stood up, and it was non-negotiable. And he did not care if this customer fired him. He did not care if he lost the contract. But he stood up, and the guy loved it.
Well, you know what? I'd like to take that, and I would like to really dissect it into the underlying message that that kind of response carries. A guy like that is standing up. He's being firm. He's being very direct. But he's not being aggressive and he's not being violent. Can you dissect that statement and really explain for us what's underlying it?
When a man's done the work he needs to get to that point, to where the energy that people feel from him is confidence, it's competence, it's groundedness, and he's got a commitment to his values, but he also has a commitment to being present with other people. He has a commitment to being honest and listening and understanding another person's point of view. But he becomes very, very clear on where his boundaries are. So whether you're talking about dating a woman the first time, married to her for 20 years, or you're closing a $1 million deal with somebody, when they know that you know your own value, when they know that you know your own self-worth and that you're worthy of respect, they treat you totally differently. They don't smell weakness. And if they smell arrogance, if they smell aggressiveness, if they smell insecurity, of course, most arrogant, aggressive men are insecure. Mm-hmm. Most bullies are insecure. If they don't smell that, and they smell that sense of self-assuredness, they want to be with you. Women want to be with you. They want you to touch them. They want to sleep with you. Customers want to hire you. Children want to sit in your lap and follow your lead. It applies everywhere.
Yeah, I love that. I know somebody who went through a big transformation. He ended up becoming a dating coach himself eventually, but he started with, "I need to improve my dating life." He wasn't getting any dates. Nothing was going on in that department. He started working on that. And then a couple of years later, what he said is, "You know what? Once I learned how to become good with women, I realized that I learned how to become good at people in general.
At life.
At life. So he would cite examples from work. He would cite examples of confrontations with crazies on public transit. And he was able to kind of handle a lot better. Everything got better. That's what I love about this, is that these underlying principles we talk about, improving your day and your relationships, whatever it may be for the listener, but it really translates into a lot of other aspects of a person's life.
And this is why the pickup artistry movement will always fail when it comes to improving a person's life. Pickup artistry will definitely get you laid if you work at it, right?
Yeah.
But pickup artistry will never help you improve your life, because it's a facade. It's a game.
So our time's up here. I'd like to wrap up by asking you for a piece of advice. So if we keep it in the context of the conversation we just had, if you could provide, you know, just something simple, something tangible, something that guys could apply today to start improving their dating or their relationship lives with women, just give them something that they could begin working with.
I'll give them two things. One is a gift to their women, and one is a gift to themselves. And the first thing, the biggest gift you can give the women in your life, whether it's a daughter, a mother, grandmother, date, or wife, is your presence, is to shut your mind down, shut your mouth, and engage with them, hear them, understand them, try to feel their journey, empathize. That is the biggest gift you can give any woman, and she'll cherish you forever if she feels like it's authentic. So figure out what that means for your woman. Figure out how she most feels that from you. Because when you look at the divorce records, the words that come up from women as to why they leave men, and well over 2/3 of divorces are initiated by women, it is because they feel emotionally neglected, emotionally abused, and the word presence comes up all the time. He was never there for me. He was never present. So that's the gift for him to give to her. Here's the gift to give to himself, and that is to realize that these epiphanies and these points of growth in your life as a man between now and the day you die only come one way, and it only comes through relationships with other men, other initiated men who have walked in your shoes and know what you're feeling and see another way to get around it and through it. That's a gift to yourself.
That makes me think, just surround yourself with great men that ideally are better than you if you can get away with it.
At least one step ahead of you, right? That's all you need to be a leader, is one step ahead of the person following. And I have many men in front of me that I follow and that I learn from and lead. And I have things that I want to help men who are just one step behind me. And what they find out is that when they're done working with me or any other coach or transformational process, what they found out is that there are other men in their life who need their help. So you become a leader. Leaders become leaders of other men, and those men become leaders. And I think that's how we change the culture. That's how we stop being men who sit and complain about how women treat us and why we don't feel good around them.
Fantastic. So if guys want to get a hold of you to learn more about how you can help them, where can they find you?
www.goodguystogreatmen.com. That's a number two in the middle, goodguystogreatmen.com. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/goodguystogreatmen. But most guys come to the website and call me. My number is at the top of every screen. And if this conversation felt fun, energizing, inspiring, this is what we do. This is what guys do for each other. We talk. So call me. That's the best answer.
Great. And of course, all of that will be in the show notes as well. Steve, thank you very much for an excellent conversation. Thoroughly enjoyed this and learned a ton.
Thank you, Alec, for the great questions. I really enjoyed this. I appreciate it.